The July.
All right.
Good evening, everyone. We've reached the hour of 7 p.m. This is the Yolo County Transportation Authority meeting, district meeting for July. It is Monday, the 11th of July, and we are ready to proceed with our meeting. Let the record show that all members are present at the moment. Has Don Saylor joined the call at this point?
Not yet.
He has asked to be promoted. He's calling in from his car. He is our chair, for those who don't know, and he's asked me as vice chair to chair the meeting until he either takes over or advises me what his wishes are. Can you display the agenda at this point, please, Mimi?
Yes.
While Mimi's doing that, I'll mention that this meeting is being conducted according to the law of the state of California, which allows us to meet remotely as part of the pandemic after effects. And that's what we are doing this evening. So we are all in various locations, but we welcome public comment from anyone. You can do so. If you look at the agenda, you'll see the ways you can communicate with us. You can call in, you can email, and we will be more than happy to include your comments as part of our meeting this evening. So let's see. We've got the quorum.
Do you want to go and take roll call? Would you like for me to take roll call?
Why don't you do that so everyone's aware of the members who are present?
Okay. Yolo County, I know Chair Saylor is trying to call in. City of Davis?
I am here.
City of West Sacramento?
Here.
City of Winters?
Here.
City of Woodland?
Here.
UC Davis is absent.
He did show up on the participant list. Perhaps he's muted. Matt Dulcich?
Matt is present. Thank you. And Caltrans?
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. And say again.
Yes, we do have quorum.
All right. So item two of the agenda are comments from the public regarding matters not otherwise separately agendized for discussion this evening. Is there any public comment for us to consider tonight, Madam Clerk?
We do have one public comment.
It's not related to an item on the agenda.
Not related to an item on the agenda.
All right. Well, go ahead.
Pardon me, Mr. Chair. I do see that Dr. Saylor is in the waiting room, so perhaps we can promote him as well.
He is on the call. He's already advised me of that, but because he's driving, he'd prefer to be a participant at this point. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So returning to the agenda, we have public comment, and the clerk tells us there's one member of the public wishing to speak. Let's hear from them at this time, please.
Okay. Go ahead, Sir Alan Hirsch.
Welcome, Alan. You have 3 minutes. Are you muted, Alan?
It's muted. Can you unmute yourself, Mr. Hirsch?
Sorry. All right, there we go. There we go. Alan Hirsch here. Thank you so much for letting me be seen. My comment is about the climate action and adaption plan that is being conducted in Davis, and I believe the county and all of it. Yolo Bus has a very, very important role in the climate action and adaption plan, because we know that tremendous amounts of our carbon footprint, between one third and in Davis, two thirds of our carbon footprint comes from driving. And then we need to people shift to active modes, which of course means bicycling and walking. But the real GHG from driving comes from cars from out of town into Davis and out of town into Yolo County. And that means Yolo Bus, 42 bus particularly. So the ridership of the 42 bus is strategic for us meeting the cap plan. And I think that should be called out, and you should participate, and you should be mentioned your important role in addressing climate change in the county and the city in that regard. So I encourage you to basically stand up and be heard in that regard. I know your staff is stretched, but it's really important, the important role there. Also in regards of the climate adaption plan, we need to make sure that bus riding is feasible as the climate gets up, which is hotter. We need shade around our bus stops. Too many of our bus stops are shadeless. The walking to the bus stops are shadeless. We need to have trees around the major corridors where there's bus stops. We need to have bus stops that are not backless and shadeless. There are some bus stops in Davis that are an embarrassment. You stand there and you're protected from the rain, but you're not protected from the sun. So we need to make sure we have a standard for our bus stops that have as much shade as possible, so the bus riders can at least wait in reasonable comfort when it's 100 degrees outside, because we need to get people on the bus to read our climate plan. Thank you for listening, and thank you for all your work. And add this to the long, long list that I know Autumn is working on.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your input, my friend. All right. That concludes public comment on items not otherwise on the agenda. And staff will take those comments to heart, Alan. Moving on to the consent calendar, we have three items. They're all routine. Does any member of the public have any input on any item on the consent calendar?
Frerix moves the consent calendar as proposed.
Lauren seconds.
Director Frerix moves and Director Lauren seconds the approval of the consent calendar. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
As Yolo County? City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
City of Woodland?
Aye. Don, are you able to indicate a vote? All right. Perhaps later he can indicate his position. That allows us to move on to the regular calendar. And the first item is the administrative report from our director and Autumn.
Hi, thank you so much, Mr. Chair. We have a number of items on the administrative reports section tonight. The first item is to hear any board member reports.
All right, before we do that, Don has texted me aye on the consent calendar. Okay, please record his vote. And we now go through the directors then. Any director have a report to make this evening?
I would like to make a comment.
Please feel free.
SACOG has a great article about microtransit and how we are effectively helping people in Yolo County. So if you have a chance, look at the SACOG article. Thank you.
Any other reports from members of the board here? I would like to express my appreciation to staff for a briefing on the ride share program in Woodland that's proposed and the vehicles that are being considered. I valued it and we'll be learning more about it as we proceed. Thank you, staff. Is there any other reports, or we may consider that the end of our report?
Matt's trying to make a comment, but there's no sound, at least on my end. I don't know if he is being heard.
Matt, are you muted?
Yeah, Matt, it doesn't seem like you're muted, but we can't hear you.
Matt, if you'd kindly either text Mimi or myself, we'll read your comment, if you don't mind, unless there's any other solution anyone else can think of. Okay. Okay, he's going to text his comments. That's what he said. So we'll wait. We'll repeat them a little later. Right now, we can move on to the Ad Hoc Committee on 80 Managed Lanes report. And Autumn, who's doing that?
Mr. Chair, we do have an update on the 80 Managed Lanes project as an agenda item. I would suggest or recommend that we
defer
this until that item. And I was also just going to offer a suggestion to Director Dulcich that perhaps he could call into the meeting on a phone, and that way we might be able to hear him while we're able to see him separately through his computer screen.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, we will defer discussion of the 80 Managed Lanes report till further in the agenda and move on to the TransDev report.
Good evening. Thank you, Director. Everything's still going steady. It's been definitely a challenge still for us. We're getting plenty of applicants, but sifting through them and getting them to actually show up for interviews has been a challenge for sure. We're holding our numbers strong. That's a good thing. And I still say, even from like the last meeting, as far as our numbers from after November 8th, we have not had anyone leave from previously for other reasons, you know, for to get a different job. So we're still got a lot of kids going through. We started a class this week with 3, and we have a class scheduled for 2 weeks already with 7 in that class. So we're trying to do a little bit different at pre-screening and save some time. You know, we schedule 25 interviews and 5 show up. So we're trying to do a little bit more, you know, even actually the last week I did some interviews on through Teams. And they actually showed up after doing that. They showed up for the first day of class, so it worked out. So we're going to try to do a little bit out different outside the box from what we've done in the past to make sure we get in and we're getting the right applicants in.
Thank you. And are you getting more of your drivers back with UC Davis assuming those routes that they were going to take back over?
Well, at the last, we had the 3 last that had come through. We have them in now. And I didn't add the part. The other challenge we've been having for the last few weeks is COVID. So, you know, with
we've
the
heard
uptake,
of it.
Yeah. But also in the uptake of the home testing, everyone's doing home testing now. And, you know, the percentage has just been incredible how many are testing positive now. So that has been another challenge to us as well. Even with new applicants coming in, they come for orientation and we get a call the next day that they tested positive. We're around somebody that was. So not sure the real truth behind the or the extent of it, I would say, but we're just hoping everybody stays safe. So,
thank you. Colleagues, do you have any additional questions regarding TransDev? I hear none. So that brings us to the Executive Director's Report. Autumn?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of things to note. Well, I did send out, there was an email today with a written report, so I would refer to you to that. But just to add a bit of kind of color commentary on some of those things and added some additional items. First, to respond to Mr. Hirsch's comment regarding the climate action and adaptation planning efforts underway in the county, I did have a phone conversation with Diana Jensen and Carrie Lux from the city of Davis last week about their climate action and adaptation plan, and one of the recommendations there around providing free or discounted transit. And it was a very productive conversation. And, you know, clearly the transit in Davis that is provided by Unitrans is widely free for students and university affiliates. However, that's something that YCTD honors as well for those who have student passes. We have an arrangement with the university where we honor that. But I think the city of Davis is looking more expansively at ways to get more people riding transit, and not just in the city of Davis, but recognizing a lot of people need to travel to or from Davis. So it was a really productive conversation. I'm excited to continue that conversation with them and look at ways that we can make transit more widely accessible. As we've seen from our own experience, when we do offer free fares, as we did this most recent birthday, we saw a quadrupling of our ridership. So just in one day. So we know that free fares and discounted fares do make an impact on people's choices. And so we're excited about continuing those conversations with the city of Davis and hopefully other jurisdictions in the county as well. To kind of follow up on Michael's comment regarding the drivers, your question, Mr. Stoller, regarding the drivers that we now have now that we've discontinued the Unitrans assistance, we are looking at options for expanding the Route 42 in the fall, starting at the beginning of fall quarter, because we know that's a really important time for people, where people are making the decisions for how they're going to travel, not just at the university, but for people that have school-aged children and are figuring out, how do I get my kids to school and then get to work? So we're working with TransDev to figure out, it's obviously a moving target from day to day and week to week with regard to the driver situation, but looking to bring back as much of the 30-minute headways on the Route 42 that were previously planned for implementation last fall. We're really hoping to bring back, to do as much of that as possible this September. We had originally hoped to have a recommendation we could bring to you tonight, but we're just not there yet. So we'll be working through that over the next few weeks and look forward to providing a more specific update and some concrete next steps on that very soon. I also wanted to just on the YOLO Active Transportation Corridors project, just a quick update on that. You know, at the last board meeting, you did approve an RFQ to go out to hire consulting services for that project. We did release that RFQ, and we had a pre-bid conference, 7 to 8 firms attended, which was great to see that kind of response. And so we're hoping that we'll see some high-quality bids coming through very soon on that. And then lastly, I just want to note the long-range calendar here as part of the administrative report is in your packet. I just wanted to note a couple of new items that I added for the October to December timeframe that are focused on kind of looking, taking a fresh look at our vision, values, and goals. And I should say not a fresh look, but looking at them to determine whether there's any, you know, additions or changes that are warranted. And then focusing on then how do we implement those next year and kind of as an updated work plan that we can begin to steer the staff towards the next 12 months. So with that, I'll conclude my my report and see if there's any questions.
Colleagues, any questions of our executive director? All right. I'd like to add to my prior report that I did attend the 2-day transportation visit to Salt Lake City with Sacramento Area Council of Governments. Director Saylor was also present, and we were able to see some really remarkable transportation implementation there, both light rail, heavier rail, streetcars, and bus rapid transit, articulated buses on rapid transit routes. It's very interesting, and I think we'll be taking some of those lessons to heart as we proceed in the future in our region. All right, let's see. We can go back to the agenda again. Mimi?
We'll use the slide.
Have we concluded item 4, please?
Yes, we have.
All right, was there any public comment on any item relative to the reports this evening?
We do not have any public comments.
Thank you. That allows us to move on to item 5, Woodland Micro Transit. And Autumn, I believe you're going to introduce this item.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to turn it over very quickly to our senior planner, Kristen Major, to provide the update on this.
Thank you. Kristen?
Great. I'm very excited to be giving an update on this topic tonight. Good evening to you, Vice Chair Stollard and members of the board. With this item, as you can see here, we are going to be discussing 2 microtransit related topics. So first, I'm going to be bringing you up to speed on the procurement of a new microtransit technology platform and recommending that you formally give the executive director the authority to enter into a contract with the highest scoring bidder. And then second, I'm going to be giving you an update on our microtransit vehicle options. And I won't be asking you to take a formal action on that vehicle topic, but we'll be simply asking for feedback related to the update. So next slide, Mimi. Okay, great. I'll just say all of the board knows this, but there might be people watching the recording or in the audience who don't know that YCTD currently operates microtransit service in Knights Landing and in Winters, and we provide connections between those rural areas and the neighboring cities. In early 2023, consistent with the YOLOGO study recommendations, we plan to expand the microtransit offerings to the city of Woodland, so an intra-city microtransit service in Woodland. And we also want to enhance the microtransit technology that we use in all of the service areas. To prepare for all of those changes, we conducted an RFP to purchase a new microtransit technology platform. On this slide, you can see the key highlights from that RFP. So we released the RFP in February, and that was actually after a request for information process that preceded it. In April, the proposals were due. We received 9 proposals. We were very pleased with that robust response. We formed a 3-person evaluation committee to score the proposals. That committee included YCTD staff, so myself, a staff member from the City of Woodland, and one of our YCTD Citizens Advisory Committee members who has actually used microtransit services in the past. So it's a rider perspective. After reviewing the proposals and scoring them, the evaluation committee decided that there were really two top proposers who stood out above the rest, and we wanted to hold interviews and ask them to give demonstrations of their software to us. After those interviews, the evaluation committee decided that Rideco was the most advantageous proposal to YCTD. They received the highest score, excuse me. Let's see. Can you go to the next slide here, Mimi? Oops, I think maybe back one. And maybe back one more. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Okay, so here are Rideco's, the strongest parts of their platform that made them stand out as the highest ranked bidder. So basically, given that we are trying to connect the Woodland Microtransit service to Fixed Route so that people can use Fixed Route to do their inner city travel, Rideco had a very strong ability to facilitate timed connections at certain Fixed Route bus stops, and we were really pleased with that. They have a very sophisticated technology when it comes to customizing your parameters for each zone. If we are traveling between Winters, which is kind of remote, and one of the neighboring cities, they can schedule it so that all people are kind of encouraged to travel at the same time, rather than say, Mary requests a trip at 1 o'clock, Bob requests a trip at 1:10, but the vehicle's already gone from Winters and it's going to take an hour to get back. So they have some sophisticated ways to try to get Bob and Mary to sort of pool their rides and ride together. They also have guaranteed pickup and drop-off windows. The review panel really thought this was a strength as compared to some other technology platforms where in periods of high demand, when a lot of the vehicles may be busy, sometimes you get a pop-up window saying that there's no vehicles available right now, please try again later. As opposed to getting that sort of message, the Rideco platform sort of works with the rider to try to negotiate a time that maybe not their preferred time, but it will give them a pickup time. And then finally, the software seems to have a very sophisticated method of assigning passengers to vehicles so that we're getting the highest number of trips per hour as possible, because that's really going to be key to financial sustainability with this service, is making sure that we're getting as many people as possible onto the vehicle while maintaining a high quality of service. Next slide, please. So when we get to the end of the item, this just kind of summarizes the action that you're going to be asked to take and the resolution that you're going to be asked to approve. So what you would be doing is conditionally authorizing the executive director to negotiate and execute a contract with Rideco for a microtransit technology platform. And that is just conditioned on the end of the bid protest period and not getting any protests during that time. And the not to exceed amount, we have established a not to exceed amount of $896,000. I just want you to know that that's for a 5-year period. So 2 contract years plus 3 option years. And the way Rideco does their pricing is that it's on a per vehicle and per revenue hour basis. So we had to make some assumptions, when we calculated the NTE amount. So we basically calculated that number by saying, what if we had 20 vehicles a day, 8 hours a day, 365 days a year for 5 years? Some of those assumptions may be high, some may be low, but we're hoping on average it will get us to a good NTE amount. And of course, YCTED would only pay for the actual service provided. So that it covers the technology platform portion of the item. And now I'll just go to the next slide to talk about vehicles.
Before you do,
yeah,
I might mention I had occasion to be in Vancouver, British Columbia last month, and I was able to get on their transit just by putting my credit card next to the sensor and got on the train, and then I did the same to get out of the station at the end, and it computes a fee. When you use Uber or Lyft, they already have your credit card on file and you get charged for the ride. Are we able to consider that as a possibility as part of this service?
Yeah, this platform will have that ability. You can choose to enter your own credit card or debit card information as your prepayment. But we wanted to keep the other fixed route options as well for consistency. So you'll also be able to show or to be able to tap your Connect card or show your mobile fare payment or pay with cash. So it has a lot of options. And then that one you're talking about where you tap your credit card, I think that's something coming in our future. And Autumn probably knows more about that based on work that Cal ITP is doing. But you'll definitely be able to do it the way you do with Uber right now.
I think it'd be so helpful if we got away from having some kind of transit type card into a general credit card environment. That's the way the world is working. We buy our coffee by tapping our credit card. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if I may jump in, sorry, just since we're on this topic, one thing I failed to mention in my executive director's report is that we were a part of a TRCIP grant application. We actually had our own TRCIP grant application that was related to the YOLO 80 managed lanes, which was not awarded, unfortunately. But we were a part of one that was led by the Capital Corridor Joint Powers Authority, which was awarded. And part of what that grant award would do would actually help pay for YCCD to do just what you're saying, Tom, for our fixed route buses would be to allow for that kind of mobile payment using a card. And so that now that has been awarded, you know, it's just last week, so we don't know all the details. But that is an exciting development, and it gets us much closer to that possibility of people being able to just board our buses, pull out their credit card and tap it in order to pay for a ride.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you so much there, Kristen. Continue,
no
please.
Problem. Okay, so now we'll move on to the vehicle portion of the update. So there is some money in the capital budget that you just approved a couple months ago, or maybe just last month. Time flies. So that budget included $560,000 for new microtransit vehicles, specifically for the Woodland service area. We typically buy our vehicles off of something called the CalAct Morongo Basin Transportation Authority Purchasing Cooperative. It's a very easy, convenient way to buy vehicles that comply with all the federal requirements. We have been talking to bus dealers who sell vehicles off that contract, and they have informed us that there are, as we all know from reading the news, unprecedented supply chain issues related to vehicles. So there is limited to no availability of some of the vehicle types that we might have wanted to buy off of that state contract. For instance, when we developed that cost estimate of $560,000, we had just kind of used as a starting point the cost for like a smaller type van, wheelchair accessible gasoline, just to save money. And because at the time, we didn't know if there would be good EV options when we developed the cost estimate, but we are finding out that that vehicle isn't available in 2022 at all and may not even be available in 2023. Unfortunately, or fortunately, all the vehicles on this CalAct purchasing cooperative are wheelchair accessible vehicles. So in addition to it being a very difficult time to purchase any sort of vehicle, we are a little bit afraid that it may be even more difficult to find wheelchair accessible vehicles to purchase in a timely manner, especially if we're trying to still aim for a January 2023 launch. So this could be an opportune time to try working with a mixed fleet. It's very common in demand response industry to not have all one vehicle type, and to even have some vehicles that are not wheelchair accessible. The main thing that you want to keep an eye on to make sure the service is equitable from an ADA standpoint is just making sure that both the people who need a wheelchair accessible vehicle or a lift are getting the same response times and travel times as people who don't need that type of vehicle. So you want to make sure they're being treated fairly and getting the same level and quality of service. But all of our ADA paratransit trips that we offer right now, only 26% of those trips require a lift-equipped vehicle, and that is, of course, for our service that's targeted at people with disabilities. So it's likely that we could repurpose some of our existing wheelchair-accessible vehicles to be part of the microtransit fleet and then purchase primarily non-wheelchair accessible vehicles and be able to give everyone comparable response times. Another consideration is the fuel type and electric vehicle considerations. So we're trying to figure out if we should purchase electric, gasoline, or a hybrid. Of course, electric would help us comply with state mandates for zero emission fleets and would just be better for the environment, but they are more expensive and we'd definitely have to purchase a larger fleet to account for the downtime when the vehicles need to be charging. Ironically, we did hear from bus dealers, though, that fully electric wheelchair accessible vehicles are possibly more readily available than the gasoline wheelchair accessible vehicles. So again, we don't have a specific recommendation for an exact mix of vehicle types that we want to purchase at this time. Our preliminary recommendation is just to explore our options to use that $560,000 that's in the budget to purchase anywhere between 4 and 8 wheelchair accessible vans or minivans and 1 to 2 wheelchair accessible vehicles. So again, if we ended up purchasing a lot of electric vehicles, we may need to assess what that cost would be and let you know if it goes above the $560,000 threshold. Again, no action on this one. We do have to explore, though, with our funders, such as FTA, because this is new to us. Even though other people do it, we've never bought transit vehicles that are not wheelchair accessible. So we need to explore with our grant funders whether they will allow us to use grant funds to do that. So all of that concludes my two-part presentation, and I'm happy to take questions if you have any.
Thank you, Kristen. I know this represents a prodigious amount of work over many months, and it's nice to be at this point, even if we haven't resolved all our issues, at least we're making good progress. Colleagues, do you have any questions of Kristen tonight? Well, it sounds like you've done a good job of covering the bases, Kristen. Thank you. Does that conclude our discussion tonight on this item?
Yes, I think you just need to vote on the one action item.
And all right, take public comment.
Ms. Yeah, I hadn't forgotten Hope.
That's okay, next. Sorry.
Any member of the public want to weigh in on this issue before we vote on the item that we have before us?
We do have one public comment from Mr. Hirsch.
Mr. Hirsch, please proceed. You got two. I think it's 2 minutes we allow here. Are you muted, Alan?
Yeah, it takes a while to process. I just want to know, we discussed this proposal at the YOLO Mobility meeting, and we are fully in support of the innovative thing that Kristen has put forward. So please give us the unanimous vote it deserves.
Thank you very much, Alan. Can we put the screen up with the action item that you're requesting tonight?
Mr. Chair, I just want to note, I believe we also have Andy Ferrillo, our Citizens Advisory Committee member, who also served on the panel, the review panel, has got his hand up to speak.
Well, thank you for advising me. I appreciate it because I can't see very much. I'm actually doing this on an iPhone. Mr. Ferrillo, please proceed. And thank you for your service as well as your colleagues on the Citizens Advisory Committee.
One moment, please.
When you're ready, Mr. Ferrillo, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. So, as Autumn mentioned, I'm on the Citizens Advisory Committee, as many of you know, as well as I've served on the Evaluation Committee for this microtransit contract. I just wanted to second a lot of what Kristen said and just say that I'm really happy with how this turned out and our selection of RideCo. Wanted to second Kristen's comments specifically that we felt that there were 9 applications and a number of them were very good, but RideCo really stood out, especially in that their algorithm really supports strongly the proposed blend of local and intercity microtransit that YCTD is looking at here. And that'll be really convenient. I mean, I've experienced with the winter service, like that frustrating experience where the vehicle leaves and then I'm looking for a ride, but then the vehicle was already on its way to Davis and had to go drop other people off and then come back and pick me up. But but I think this platform is going to be really helpful in providing both efficient and convenient service and helping avoid those types of situations. And further, I wanted to second what Kristen said about really that this platform particularly strongly integrates with fixed route transit and that really will help further the multimodal vision that YCTD has and provide a really convenient service to riders. So wanted to thank you all for having me serve on this on the committee, and really am excited to see this move forward. Thank you.
We're grateful for your assistance. Thank you again. Was there any additional public comment, Amy, or is that it?
No more further public comments, but we do have.
All right. Kristen, would you restate the action for which we're seeking a motion?
Whoops, and I didn't. Do you want me to do that now before the people with their hands up comment? Or
I didn't know there were more hands up.
Yes, I'm sorry, Chair Stallard. Directors Ledesma, Frericks, and Loren all had their hands raised.
I do apologize, colleagues. We'll start with Director Frericks.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Appreciate that. Kristen, thank you so much for the good staff work on this and for all those that participated in the evaluation of the proposals. I was curious in Director Stallard's thoughts on this item. I mean, this is something that is going to primarily be of benefit to Woodland, and I think that's a good thing. But so, you know, I know some of the other jurisdictions in the county have had experience with microtransit, obviously. And so just curious about Director Stallard's thoughts as to the proposal and sort of, you know, what Woodland is most interested in. So thank you.
Thank you for asking, Lucas. I couldn't be more excited. And Spencer Bowen of our staff has participated with Kristen and others at the district and every step of the way. And to have 9 respondents was amazing, a great field of choice, and there were good ones, as you've heard, but Rideco was the best they saw. And really, this is a software business, you know, hardware that, aside from the difficulties of getting the vehicles, you know, we'll get them, and they will last a certain number of years, and we'll replace them. But the software, which can be upgraded, is terribly critical, and that's basically what we're looking at with Rideco. So anyway, we are very, very excited. This should make even the service in the existing jurisdictions of Nice Landing and Winters even better. We hope to even integrate it some. It's questionable how much integration actually can occur with the software. I understand that's still yet to be determined. But anyway, we're thrilled. And I think everybody on this board should feel great personal satisfaction that we're at this point. And pretty soon it's going to happen. And, you know, just imagine the convenience of having transit come to within a few doors of your house. You know, it will go to us to a nearest corner. But to have that kind of convenience and take you right to the inner city bus, if you need the inner city bus, or to the shopping center. Anyway, I could get carried away. Thank you for asking, Lucas. Now, another director, please jump in because I can't see. I don't have a picture of all of you with your hands up.
We have Director Ledesma.
Thank you. And thanks for the opportunity, Mr. Stallard, and for stepping in the chair tonight. No, you're right. This is an exciting time for the district, I think, and for Woodland as they approach it. And something that I think we envisioned some time ago is getting to this point. Just a couple of just brief things. I know on the contract is the action is that we're authorizing the negotiation. Again, I'm not looking for an answer, just more so guidance says we're thinking about is a total of five-year contract, 2 years, with three years of options, correct? So yeah, something that again, just we've been almost year to year with VIA, just on the mere fact of technology changes, and these are a lot. While this provider seems to have some very good contracts with large jurisdictions, LA, San Antonio, and a few others, the folks at SACOG would just make sure we are very abreast of sort of changing dynamic of not just transit, but these kind of more technology-based software company. So having a short term, and then I'm not sure if there's any thought about performance measures or indicators on the service, something that you probably, I'm sure, Mr. Stallard and the folks in Woodland are thinking about in terms of just how do we know it's achieving goals. It's something that we tried to do. I know we talked about, I think, at some point what microtransit should provide by way of goals. So when we get that point, are they hitting the mark? We have something certainly as a district to make sure we kind of have some hooks in them to make sure that they're not providing that type of service. And the third part, because maybe I just don't understand it, maybe offline we could talk about it. It's just because this is a software provider and the integration towards fixed route and towards how the City of Woodland and YCTD partner on aligning routes, aligning where the microtransit could go, just making sure that the data is accessible, right? So that we kind of, it feels like that's what we'll have, because we'll have the software. But one of the more important things we've received out of VIA is just being able to see where hotspots were and tracking performance and being able to see where people are actually going and not necessarily where we thought, program it to where we thought we can go. So just things to think about as you go towards negotiating and executing a contract. So I'm going to throw this out there.
Let me just say initially, giving credit where it's due, Woodland was inspired by the West Sacramento example. And I believe the West Sacramento VIA system was the very first system in the entire country. So you guys really have led the field here. And I know you're still learning year by year, and we will be learning year by year too. And performance measures and things like that obviously need to be in place at some point, and it should be perhaps part of the negotiations. Kristen, would you care to comment on some of the questions and issues that Director Ledesma has presented?
Yeah, sure. I do. I'll just start with the first one, the easier one, the 2 years plus three option years. I think when we did the RFI, we found that that was how we would get the best pricing, is that if we at least committed to 2 years and then do the year by year. As far as we were thinking along the exact same lines as you, this is a pilot and we want to be able to evaluate whether it's successful. So that was one of the key parts of the RFP, was making sure that we'd have all the data necessary to evaluate whether the service was performing well against those 7 or 8 goals that the board adopted a few months ago. So it's we own all the data. That's how it works with RideCo. We have access to the full raw data downloads. They also have really great dashboards. So, you know, we can easily evaluate it on the broad high level with their dashboards. And then if we have unique sort of complaints coming from a certain neighborhood, we can pull the raw data and analyze at an even more fine grained detail to make sure it's working the way we want. So, and then in terms of the fixed route connections, that's actually, I should have perhaps mentioned that then one of the next steps now, after we get the RideCo on board with a contract, is that one of their tasks is to help us plan the service in Woodland. And we will also be, as recommended by YoLogo, looking at the fixed route structure here in Woodland of the 211 and 212. So we can design sort of where they might be timed to meet. The fixed route doesn't need to be timed on its end. It's really the microtransit is working around your fixed route schedules, and it's pulling like the data for your schedules and telling the bus, the microtransit vehicles, like, oh, look, the 42 is going to be at Main and Matmore at like 6 p.m. Let's pool as many people as we can onto that vehicle and then get it to that stop by 5:55 or 5:50. So it's really the fixed route is taking precedence, and then the microtransit vehicles are trying to feed to that fixed route. And we can, of course, discuss more offline too, if you want to, if you have more questions about that.
No, yeah, probably offline, and I appreciate the feedback. But that's this the kind of data you're looking for, right? And it's an interesting feature that you're able to build in the routes into their system. So anyway, thank you for the detail.
Vice Chair, I'd like to make a comment.
Please, Director Lauren.
Thank you so much. I also wanted to compliment Kristen on her great work on this project. It's amazing. And I'm so impressed with Rideco and all of the innovation in their software. I think it is going to be a benefit to Woodland for sure, and a benefit to transportation. And I'd also like to say that I have had several cities reach out to me about YOLO and how our microbus works, and how other cities would love presentations on all of our how what we're doing and how innovative it is. So look forward to probably the League of California Cities asking you to do a presentation. And then the last thing I just want to say is that this is what equity looks like. It's transportation that is different and unique to the regions that it serves. And I just want to sing the praises of what we're doing at YCTD. And with that, I'm ready to make a motion if you would like.
Hey, Jesse, I just want to say that is an extremely pertinent comment you just made. This is what public transportation is all about. This is equity in action. I mean, the wealthy can use Uber and Lyft anytime they want, and they will continue to do so. But for those who don't have the means, they're going to have a similar quality of service. They'll be able to open their phone and see a little vehicle moving around, so they know when it's coming to them. That's a possibility for them. I just think it's an absolutely wonderful thing. So please proceed with your motion.
I move that we approve resolution 2022-10, authorizing the executive director to negotiate and execute a contract with Rideco US Inc. for a microtransit technology platform, conditioned upon YCTD receiving no protests.
Thank you. Is there a second to Director Lauren's motion?
Ledesma will second.
Thank you. Motion by Director Lauren, second by Director Ledesma, to adopt the staff recommended action in item 5 of tonight's agenda. Is there further discussion from any member of the board? And I believe we've already had public comments, so I presume there's no further public comment?
No further public comments.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
We have YOLO County?
Don has texted aye. Did you hear that, Mimi?
Yes,
Don has texted aye.
Okay, the motion passed unanimously.
Thank you, unanimously. Okay, moving on to item 6. Give me a moment to bring up the agenda again. Okay, here we are. Item 6 is the YOLO 80 Managed Lanes project. We have an update on our notice of preparation, plus technical advisory services. Director Bernstein, are you presenting?
I'm Brian and I are going to tag team this. So I will start and I'll do the first section on the update on the notice of preparation. And then Brian is going to talk about technical advisory services and the scope of work you have before you tonight. So if you could go to the next slide, Mimi. So just to kind of remind everybody where we are, Caltrans is the lead agency for this project for environmental review under CEQA and NEPA. The first step of that process is the notice of preparation for the environmental document. That notice of preparation, or NOP, was released last August. And that notice of preparation made no mention of climate, vehicle miles traveled, equity, or tolling. Two alternatives that included that were tolling, but the project description itself did not talk about tolling. It also did not include multi-lane tolling as a possible alternative. Now, YCTD's adopted goals, as well as the SACOG Metropolitan Transportation Plan, SCS, and state policy mandates and objectives on climate and VMT, all identify tolling plus transit investments as a key strategy for meeting climate goals when it comes to highway projects. And the next slide is just a refresher of the goals that the YCTD board adopted for this project the board adopted back in December. And I won't go through them all in here in great detail. I just wanted to remind the board what they are. Next slide. So, in response to the kind of the concerns about the notice of preparation, YCCG did compose a letter that we sent to Caltrans on May 4th of 2022, not 2023. We're a year ahead of ourselves. We received a response from Caltrans on June 3rd. In their letter, Caltrans did commit to modifying the notice of preparation to, quote, reflect comments from YCCG regarding the use of tolling language. We are now coordinating with Caltrans on next steps to revise the notice of preparation. And we're hoping that we can have a revised draft notice of preparation then can be issued to the public sometime by the end of this month. That is the goal. And that is the update I can share at this point. We have not yet seen the draft revised notice of preparation. However, I understand from my colleague Greg Wong, who's here with us tonight, that we should expect that no later than July 13th, which is coming up this Wednesday. So we're looking forward to seeing that draft. And we can ask Greg when we get to that place if that's still the expectation. But with that, I want to turn it over to Brian, who's going to talk about the need for specialized technical assistance.
Great. Thank you, Autumn. Good evening, Vice Chair Seller and members of the board. Appreciate the opportunity to share this component of the staff report with you. So the second piece here that we're looking at is procuring some consulting services to assist us with what we expect, we'll need as we move forward. So the board had given direction prior for staff to identify a pathway towards tolling. There are typically sort of two sequential studies or documents that need to be prepared to do that. The first is called the traffic and revenue studies, kind of a preliminary analysis to assess the feasibility of tolling on any given facility. And then you have what's called a concept of operations, which is a little bit more detailed, kind of like a design concepts or some like almost quasi preliminary engineering that goes into more detail about what specific how the system would be configured in a little bit more detail. And the whole field of sort of highway planning analysis is quite specialized, and it's expertise that we don't have at the staff level. And so we've recognized that we'd like to have some experts, alongside of us to help us navigate this process with Caltrans and making sure that we're making well-informed decisions and recommendations to our board of directors. And so that's what we'd like to do. Our scope of work primarily consists of two things. One would be to conduct an independent peer review of the existing traffic and revenue study that's been produced by Caltrans. We, of course, have it in our hands and we've reviewed it internally, but we'd like to get a set of expert eyes looking at it. And then also we anticipate future studies, future environmental documents, even as far as, concept of operation studies, engineering design that we would want to have somebody on our bench that can really help us navigate through that part of the process as well. Next slide.
Thank you, Brian. Do we have a cost figure for this kind of additional assistance? And a source
we
of
do. If maybe can forward the slide. There it is. Yes, so in this year's budget, the board of directors had allocated $150,000 towards this sort of pre-construction, consulting assistance activities that we need assistance for this fiscal year. We've already obligated $25,000 for legal assistance, and then we're anticipating that this would be perhaps in the range of $115,000. We think $70,000 for the peer review of the traffic and revenue study, and then $40,000 for the on-call consulting services. That would still leave us with about $25,000 in contingency for these sort of professional services that we need. And of course, if we are exceeding any of these figures, then we'll definitely come back to the board and give rationale for what's occurring and why we need to be requesting more resources. With respect to how we would actually procure these services, there's two ways we can go about it. One would be to issue kind of an open RFP. Certainly benefits and drawbacks of doing that. But SACOG also has an on-call bench of professional consultants that they've already gone through federally approved processes for consulting selection. We could select from that bench as well. They have a couple firms that I think, you know, are of interest to us. But we haven't made, we still are exploring and finding out what those processes will look like to see what might be, you know, the most efficient way for us to advance this request. I think that's the last slide that I have on this item. So
is the board being requested to take any action tonight, or is this for information only as it's within the previously budgeted allocation? Autumn, you can perhaps address that.
Yes, my understanding is that because it's in the approved budget, we don't actually need the board to take an action tonight. We would bring back the contract for approval. However, it's a best practice to bring it to you to make sure there are no objections or any direction before we go ahead with it.
Thank you. I know we appreciate that courtesy. Members of the board, do you have any questions or concerns? And maybe you'll have to call on them because I can't see people.
Director Lauren, you have your hand raised.
Please proceed. Which director?
Director Lauren.
Jesse Lauren, do you wish to speak on this?
I think it was left over, Mimi, from the last item.
It was left over, and I was having trouble moving my cursor back over because I have three screens, and they didn't want to talk to each other. They needed counseling. But
you're just too efficient.
But I'll wait for other comments, and then I will most likely make one.
Any other comments? I think you're the only one wishing to comment.
We do have one public comment.
One public comment? Well, we'll definitely go to public comment. Is it Mr. Hirsch?
Mr. Hirsch, one moment.
Unmute yourself, Alan.
Thank you very much. This is exactly the innovative approach to the difficult problem of widening the causeway that we need in this community. We know that anything that increases traffic and driving and encourages it moves us in the wrong direction. We need to find a solution to this problem, and this consultant could hope provide us some alternate solutions and push back against Caltrans, who seems wanted to widen the entire I-80 corridor to Tahoe to encourage people to drive up to Tahoe more so the snow melts quicker. So this is a great thing. Move ahead. Thank you, Autumn, for suggesting this.
Thank you, Alan, again. Okay, coming back to the board, I don't think I heard anyone else wishing to speak. But
I'd like to move the item, Director Sallard.
Jesse Lauren had a comment, and then we'll take the motion. Jesse?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. I'm really glad that Greg Wong is here tonight. I know that Winners works very collaboratively with Caltrans, and you know we all think Caltrans is important. But I just, you know, when we're spending money on lawyers to work out our relationship and to move the ball down the field for equity, I just want to mention that you know, Caltrans has its own goals and it has its own vision, and Caltrans' vision is to be safe, equitable, reliable, efficient, sustainable, and resilient, to minimize the negative impacts to the environment and enhance the environment where possible, and to help the economy thrive and give California residents options for their travel needs. We say the same words, we say the same values, but we as YCTD are really working hard to deliver that. And we just hope that you can be a partner in that for the future of this part of California. It's why we're here. So I just wanted to thank you and encourage you.
Thank you, Director Lauren. I presume we have no further comments, public or directors.
Yeah, Director Stallard, just make the motion to approve, but I do have one quick comment before we vote. Thanks.
Okay, we'll take the motion. Does someone wish to second the motion?
And Vice Chair Stollett, I did see that that Mr. Wong from Caltrans did unmute himself. I wasn't sure if he wanted to have an opportunity to comment.
Okay. I'm going to get a second to the motion, and then we'll have further discussion, including Mr. Wong's comments.
Ledesma was second.
Thank you. So we have, I think that was motion by Frerich, second by Ledesma, correct, to adopt the action, which was to authorize staff to procure professional consulting services related to highway tolling for the 80 YOLO Corridor Improvement Project, either via SACOG or on-call consulting agreements or via request for proposals for up to $115,000. That's the motion. We have the motion second. We're now going to further discussion. And any board member, first of all, have any further discussion on this?
Yes, Director Stallard. This is Director Frerich.
Please proceed.
Because, yeah, just a quick comment. I think, you know, in response to Director Lauren's comments, which I think were great, I would just say a couple things. We even good friends occasionally disagree. And so, you know, we are our agency and we come from our respective agencies and we agree on many things with Caltrans and occasionally we disagree on some things. But we are, I think, all committed to making this project successful first. Secondly, we only have to look just down the road in Solano County. Now, admittedly, it's a different Caltrans district. It's District 4, not District 3. But Solano County, if I got that number right, I think I did. Solano County is doing a project right now, a managed lanes project, and converting. They're doing about almost 20 miles or so of managed toll lanes in Solano County between the Fairfield and Vacaville areas. So this is not a new tool in the toolkit. It's been used in other places around the state already quite a bit, in the Bay Area, Los Angeles, San Diego. We here in the Sacramento area are a little bit late to the game, so to speak, but not to fear. We'll be able to make up for lost time. And I am quite confident that we will have a managed lanes project that ultimately includes tolling as part of the tools in the toolkit. So thank you to staff for this work. Appreciate that and very much and happy to move the item forward.
Thank you. So we have a motion by Director Frerich, seconded by Director Ledesma. We had a number of comments. I would just like to weigh in and say I've always found District 3 to be great to work with, and we can always pick up the phone and call, and they'll always take our calls. So we do appreciate that relationship. I appreciate the prescient comments of Director Frerich that this isn't something that's so novel that it shouldn't be contemplated here. And on the contrary, it should be contemplated. It's essentially just a few miles up the road. So with that, we'll proceed to a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Stallard, I don't know if Greg Wong, if Greg was.
Oh, there. I miss Greg Wong. Thank you so much. Shows you what happens when you got a tenderfoot chair in the meeting. Greg Wong, we're delighted to hear from you. Please proceed.
Thank you, Vice Chair Stallard and directors. Yeah, I unmuted quickly so I can thank Director Lauren for her comments. So I'll thank Director Lauren, Director Frerich, and Director Stollard for your comments. So that's just. I was a little late to the button, I guess, but I enjoyed the partnership with Autumn that we have, and I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks to get this to the finish line.
Please do us the favor of telling Mr. Benipal how grateful we are for the positive relationships we enjoy with District 3, okay?
Thank you.
All right. So thank you. Thank you, Don. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
YOLO County?
Aye.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
And City of Woodland?
Aye. Director Saylor, as chair, would you like to take over the meeting at this time?
Tom, I'm happy to do that, but I think my only real thing is I want to register votes on the consent item and the other items I voted aye. And I wonder if I can be allowed to add my vote to those tallies.
Hope, is that okay?
Yes. Supervisor Saylor, as to the consent agenda, what would be your vote?
Aye.
And then as to item number 5, Woodland Microtransit, are you in support of the motion?
Yes.
And then that was the only two items I believe we needed to register your vote for.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you for your for your tolerance, folks. I was on the call throughout the meeting, unable to participate, like being on an operating table without anesthesia, watching the medical professionals slice and dice. So we've concluded our public agenda, and we are now going to be recessing into closed session, where we have an item, public employment, employee appointment or evaluation. And this is, there will not be anything to report out after this closed session. And so this is concluding our public agenda. And we will now recess, and I think hope there is a separate Zoom coordinate for this session. So colleagues, you should have that.
Yes.
Does everyone have the Zoom number for the closed session? If anyone does not, please let Mimi know and she'll share it with you. And Tom, I really appreciate your leadership and guiding the meeting. Thank you for that. And let's recess into closed session now. Is there any reason not to? Bye, Greg. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Okay, here we go. See you on the other side.